Hello. You are listening to the Grieving Parents Sharing Hope podcast. We are here to walk with parents on their unwanted journey of child loss, guiding them to a place of hope, light, and purpose, not in spite of their child's death, but as a way to honor his or her life. And now, here is your host, author, speaker, and bereaved parent, Laura Deal.
Hi. Thank you for joining me today. Have you ever realized that there are some things in life that simply cannot be explained? They have to be experienced. Unless you've lost a child, no one can truly understand this kind of grief. And unless you've been to heaven, no one can truly understand that kind of glory. Our children know something we don't. Have you ever had one of those moments where a thought comes to you and you stop and think, why have I never seen it this way before? Some of you may have heard some of this that I'm going to talk about, because part of what I'm going to share was in last week's Word of Hope email. I had one of those moments quite a while back based on an email that was sent to me. We often say that unless someone has lost a child, they can't possibly understand what this kind of pain feels like. They can sympathize, they can love us, they can walk alongside us, but there's just no way they can fully know the darkness, that suffocating darkness, until they have walked through it themselves. And then the thought hit me. It's exactly the same way. Unless you have actually been to heaven, you can't possibly know what heaven is like. Heaven is beyond our ability to comprehend. We can read what Scripture tells us. We can read encounters maybe of those near-death experiences of people who've been there. We can imagine what it might be like. We can look forward to it with hope. But at the end of the day, we've never been there. So there's no way we can actually know what it's like. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 8:18 that the sufferings we experience now cannot even be compared with the glory that will be revealed. I think about that verse a lot. It's become one of those scriptures that I come back to over and over again, because that has got to be some glory and something incredible based on how deep our suffering is, if it can't even be compared to it. The thought that the glory yet to come can't even be compared to the depth of suffering after the death of Becca, that's got to be some glory. As bereavers, we know what deep suffering feels like. We know what it's like to wake up to another day without our child. We know the darkness that settles over our hearts. We know the ache that follows us into birthdays, holidays, family gatherings, and even ordinary moments. In fact, you might even be feeling the heaviness of it just while I'm talking about it. But what if heaven is just as impossible to explain as our grief is? Think about that for a minute. Have you ever tried to explain to someone what it feels like to lose a child? Unless they have walked this road themselves, there are no words. You can describe the tears, you can describe the loneliness, you can describe the feeling that part of you has been ripped away. But no matter how hard you try, someone who has never buried a child cannot truly understand what it feels like. And I think maybe if you think about yourself, maybe you knew someone who lost a child, and I don't know, maybe you had a chance to try to comfort them, but you had no clue what that was like until you experienced it for yourself. Now, I want us to turn that around. What if our children tried to explain heaven to us? How would they describe a place where there is absolutely no fear whatsoever, no sickness, no sniffle, no nothing, just incredibly, perfectly healthy bodies, no disappointment, no regret, no shame, no loneliness, no tears, no betrayal, no death? How would they explain standing in the presence of Jesus? How would they put into words the peace they are now experiencing, or the overwhelming love that just surrounds them and almost like just saturates their entire being? Maybe they couldn't. maybe it would be just as impossible for them to describe heaven to us as it is for us to describe child loss to someone who has never experienced it. That thought has just stayed with me since I had it. It reminds me how limited my perspective really is. I know what I've lost here on earth. I feel that loss every single day. But my view is limited to what I can see from this side of eternity. Our children are seeing something entirely different. They know something we don't. And while we struggle to imagine what heaven must be like, they no longer have to imagine it at all. Now, one thing I want to make very clear is that this new perspective doesn't make our pain disappear. Now, hang in there if you are really struggling with this because you're not sure if your child is there. Just hang in here because we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. As much as I believe Becca is in heaven, and as much as I believe she is experiencing a joy beyond anything we can imagine, I still miss her. I still wish she were here. I still wish she could be sitting around the table with the rest of the family. I wonder what life would look like if she were here to be friends with her daughter who's now grown up, to celebrate birthdays, to know what kind of an aunt she would be to all of her nieces and nephews that she's never met, and to make more memories together. Believing that heaven is wonderful doesn't take away the ache of wishing our children were still here with us. Over the years, I have had people say things that were meant to comfort me. I'm sure you have too. Things like, at least you know where she is, or you'll see her again someday. And those things are true, and I'm thankful for that hope, but they're not a magic eraser that wipes away the pain of losing your child here from this earth. Knowing our child in heaven does not somehow make us stop being a mom or dad whose arms long to hold them again, to hear them again, to see them again, to have experiences with them. I think sometimes, especially as Christians, we can put pressure on ourselves that God never intended us to carry. We think that because we believe in heaven, we shouldn't hurt so much. Or maybe we even wonder if something is wrong with our faith because the grief is still so deep. But I don't believe God ever asks us to choose between hope and sorrow or peace and pain. He allows us to carry both at the same time. You may have heard me share this before, but I believe the reason peace and pain can be in us at the same time is because peace is a fruit of the Spirit, and pain happens in our soul. So we can have peace in our spirit while at the same time having pain in our soul. When I think about Becca, there's a part of my heart that is incredibly happy for her. She'll never know pain again. She'll never face another surgery. She has both legs. She doesn't deal with heart issues. She can breathe freely. She'll never struggle with disappointment or heartache or the brokenness of this world. She is with Jesus, and there isn't one part of me that would ever want to take that away from her. But there is another part of me that still misses my daughter like crazy. Those two things don't cancel each other out. They live together in my heart. I can rejoice for where she is while grieving the fact that she isn't here with me and with our family. I don't think that makes me weak. I think it simply makes me a mom whose child is no longer here with her. I also know this is not something that happens overnight. Getting to the point where we can feel happy for our child, or maybe even more happy for them than the pain that we feel of missing them. Because this thought is something that often just can't be received those first few months. Most of us would honestly feel like, I don't care, she or he belongs here with me. I know I felt that way for quite a while. And if that's where you are today, I understand. There isn't an ounce of judgment coming from me. I know that desperate longing to have your child back, and I know how impossible it feels to imagine ever thinking differently. But God will do a quiet work in your heart, just like He's done in mine and many, many others. He didn't take away my love for Becca or get me to the point where I don't miss her at all, because that's just never going to happen. Instead, he's been continually helping me trust his heart more than I trust my own understanding. This can take a long time and a lot of tears. It has taken many conversations with God where I simply didn't understand why things happened the way they did. But little by little, He has shown me that His love for Becca is even greater than mine. As impossible as that is for me to comprehend, I believe it is true. So when I stop and think about the fact that our children know something we don't, it doesn't lessen my grief. It simply gives me another reason to trust the heart of my Father. Like I said, I still miss Becca like crazy, but I can also rest in knowing that she is not wishing that she were back here. She is exactly where every single one of us longs to be someday, and somehow that thought brings a little more peace to my heart. Now, before I move on, I do want to take a few minutes to speak to those of you whose heart may have gone somewhere completely different while listening to this episode. As I've been talking about our children being in heaven, some of you may have felt a knot in your stomach because you are not sure if your child is there. I know this is one of the deepest fears that some bereavers carry. I've heard from many parents over the years who are tormented with fear that their child might not be in heaven. Maybe their child never officially proclaimed their faith. Maybe they walked away from God. If you are the parent of one of these children, I want you to know that I see you and I'm so glad you're still listening. Now, I don't have all the answers. None of us do. There are things about eternity that belong to God alone, but I do know the heart of our Heavenly Father. I know that His love for your child is even greater than your love for your child. His love is a perfect love. I think all of us can admit that the love for our child, as much as we wanted it to be, our love is not perfect. We messed up. We made wrong decisions. As a matter of fact, you may be beating yourself up for something that you think was a wrong decision you made that was part of a chain of events that caused the death of your child. Release that. God didn't give you that guilt and shame to carry. He took it from you. I know it's easy for me to say, but that is something you can lay down and give to Him. But as impossible as it may seem, it's true that God's love for your child is even greater than your love. He created your son or daughter. He loves them with a perfect love, and His desire has always been to draw them into a relationship with Him. And because of that, I have chosen to believe something that has brought great peace to my heart and to many other bereavers over the years. I believe that God is big enough to have made every opportunity possible for your child to accept Him before leaving this earth. Now, that could have happened during a moment you know nothing about. They didn't share it with you. It could have happened in a quiet conversation with God that was never shared with anyone else. It could have happened even in the final seconds of your child's life. Just because you don't have the information you long to have does not mean that God wasn't at work. When I look through Scripture, I don't see a God who's looking for reasons to keep people out of heaven. I see a Savior who willingly gave His own life through the love of the Father out of deep love for each and every one of us. So, if this is a fear that you struggle with, I don't have to tell you that fear brings torment. The bottom line is that since you don't know, you can either choose to be tormented by the fear that your child might not be there, or you can choose to have faith, trusting that God at some point, even if it was during that exact moment of death as they crossed over, that they were given one last opportunity to receive that gift of salvation and they said yes. And if you can choose that, which will bring you peace. So you either get to choose the torment of fear that you don't know, or you get to choose the peace of faith that at some point, even if it was that final nanosecond, that they said yes, and they are there waiting for you. I hope and I pray that you choose peace. One of the biggest changes that happens after the death of our child is that we begin living between two worlds. Before Becca died, heaven was absolutely real to me because God's word tells us it's real. Now for us, we had lost grandparents. I wasn't super close to my grandparents. We always lived far away and they were, you know, like a visit every once in a while, maybe every 2 or 3 years. I know Dave was very close to his grandma when she passed, but our parents were here, our siblings were here. So we really didn't have a grid for grief at all until Becca died. So it's not like I was already longing to be with someone who was in heaven already. I believed every promise Scripture makes about eternity, and I looked forward to going there someday, but if I'm honest, I believed in it, but I wasn't constantly thinking about it. And then Becca died. And suddenly, heaven wasn't just a place I read about in my Bible, it became personal, because there was someone I loved with all my heart who was living there. I think that's true for so many of us as Pereavers. Something inside us has changed forever. Part of our heart is already in heaven. Next week, you're going to hear me talk to a guest, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more. I don't mean that we spend our days wishing our lives away. I don't believe that's what God's desire is for us. We aren't called to just sit and wait until we die, or just to live in a shell until we die so we can be with our child again. We are called to live the life He has given us while we're still here, with purpose and faithfulness, even when it hurts. At the same time, I don't think we should apologize for longing for heaven more than we used to. I remember almost 1 year to the day after Becca's transfer to heaven, I admitted something to a friend that I'd been feeling guilty about. I told her that I was looking forward to seeing Becca more than I was looking forward to seeing Jesus, and I felt terrible about that. I will never forget her response. She looked at me and she simply said, "But Laura, you've made a deposit there." Those words have stayed with me. Now, several weeks later, I was reading in the book of Matthew, and I came to chapter 6, verse 21, where Jesus says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." When I read those words, it was like God gently confirmed what my friend Jan had said. My heart wasn't being drawn toward heaven because I loved Jesus less. My heart was being drawn there because someone I treasured was already there. And I think Jesus understands that. And I think God, our Father, understands that. Just as I'm saying this, I just had a thought I've never had before. I am sure that God the Father missed His Son. While Jesus was here on earth, Jesus was not in heaven with God the Father. And I am sure He could not wait to have all of that get over with so that He could have His Son back, so that He could be reunited with His Son. I believe they understand what that separation is like. Jesus, you know, He longed to be back with the Father, even though He was here doing His will, even though He loved deeply the people He was walking with. I'm sure His heart longed to be back with His Father. Wow, that's crazy. Thank you, Lord, for that, giving me that thought just now. In my mind, I picture arriving in heaven and running straight to Becca. I can almost see myself wrapping my arms around her and giving her the biggest hug I've ever given anyone. And while I'm doing that, I picture Jesus standing just next to us, watching with the biggest smile on His face, because He knows that He's the one who made this wonderful reunion possible. And then after that embrace, I turn to Him with a love and gratitude I don't even have words to describe, thanking Him for making it possible. I do want to add one thing, though. It took several years before I could honestly say that I am just as excited to see Jesus as I am to see Becca. I don't think God ever condemned me for where I was. He simply kept drawing me closer to His own heart until one day I realized that my longing for heaven had become just as much about seeing my Savior as it is about seeing my daughter. The Apostle Paul talked about his desire to depart and be with Christ while recognizing there was still work for him to do here on earth, satisfying work, work that he could be passionate about. There is a healthy tension in living with an eternal perspective while faithfully living the life God has placed in front of us. I think that's where many of us find ourselves. Heaven isn't just our future destination anymore. It's where our child lives. They know something that we don't know, and that changes everything. Talking about heaven reminded me about a page in one of my books, My Grief Journey. This is a book that has over 40 words that have to do with our grief journey, including the word heaven. Other words are things like fear, hope, time, family, shock, tears, memories, comfort. Each word is on a hand-drawn coloring page. Now, if you're not into coloring, you don't have to color it, but it has also a prompt to write down your own thoughts about that word. There's also a little something I wrote about each word, along with an appropriate scripture. After putting this book out there, we had so many parents asking if we had something like this for their kids, those who had lost their sibling. So we put together a matching book, My Grief Journey for Kids, which has actually become our best-selling book. To find out more about both of these books and the other books I've written as resources for bereavers, you can either click on the link in the show notes or just go to gpshope.org/books. If this episode has been an encouragement to you, would you please share it with another bereaver who might need the same encouragement you've received? Also, if you're a regular listener and the Grieving Parent Sharing Hope podcast has encouraged your heart, would you just take a minute to leave a rating and a review? It may seem like a small thing, but it really does make a difference. Your review helps the podcast become more visible, making it easier for another grieving parent to find hope when they need it the most. Thank you for taking a moment to help us reach another bereaver who may be feeling alone on this journey like you did at one time. It's time for our weekly birthday segment. Birthdays can be especially heavy weeks for grieving parents, and that's why we take time on the podcast to remember children whose birthdays fall that week. Travis M. Blair was born on August 9th and is forever 30. Christopher Hotch was born on August 10th and is forever 31. We celebrate the day these two came into the world. We know it will always be a day worth celebrating. If you would like your child's birthday included in the weekly birthday segment, you remain in control. It's only shared for the year you request and during that birthday week. If you want your child's birthday honored the following year, we'll only do that if you make the request for us to do so. Just click on the link in the show notes to add your child to the birthday segment. Just do it right away. You don't have to worry about waiting until it gets close. When I pre-record these, every once in a while a birthday gets missed because they don't send it in until that week when I've already recorded the podcast episode. So click on the link in the show notes or go to gpshope.org/birthdays. Just fill out the needed information. And if this feels like something that might bring comfort to you, I would be honored to remember your child along with the other listeners. As I close today, I just want to leave you with the thought that started this entire episode. Unless someone has lost a child, they cannot possibly understand what this kind of pain feels like. I know some of them try to compare it. You know, I know how you feel. I lost, fill in the blank. And while we know they don't know how we feel, we can be thankful in a way that, in their own naive way, they're trying to comfort us by the greatest painful loss they have ever experienced. But we know they don't know what it's really like. They can love us. They can care deeply about us. They can do their very best to comfort us, some of us better than others. But there is a part of this journey that simply cannot be understood unless you've lived it yourself. And then one day it hit me that maybe heaven is the same way. We spend a lot of time wondering what our children are experiencing, and that's only natural. We miss them so much that our hearts long to know what life is like for them now. But probably they would not be able to fully explain it to us, even if they wanted to. How do you describe a place where there's no pain, no fear, no darkness, no separation from a perfect God, and everything is finally understood and makes sense? How do you explain perfect peace to someone who has only known a broken world? I don't think there are words for something like that. And that realization doesn't make me miss Becca any less. It doesn't take away the empty place at family gatherings or the moments when I wish she were still here. But it does remind me that while I am looking toward heaven by faith, Becca is living there by sight. She knows something I don't. And one day, I will know it too. Until then, I want to keep living the life God has given me. I want to keep loving my family, serving others, and walking in the purpose He still has for me. At the same time, I don't ever want to lose that longing for my eternal home, because that's where Jesus is and that's where Becca is. Heaven is no longer just a promise I read about in the Bible. It's become so much more personal than that. So, when you have one of those days when your heart is aching for your child even more than usual, I hope this thought gives you just a little bit of comfort. Our children are not wondering what heaven is like anymore. They know. They are experiencing a joy and a peace that are beyond anything we can imagine. And someday, when God says it's time for us to go home, we won't have to imagine it anymore either. Until then, let's keep walking together, encouraging one another, and reminding each other that even when there are things we don't understand, we can trust the one who does. In Him, we have an eternal hope. So hold on, pain eases. There is hope.